this is your Polycast for Wednesday, June 8th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, finger-pointing at the state capitol and lead in water at schools. DFL Governor Mark Dayton said yesterday he wants a special session by the end of the month for lawmakers to pass a reworked version of the tax bill that he refused to sign. Hours after he let the bill die with a pocket veto, Dayton defended his decision and faulted legislators for the bill's demise. House Republicans, meanwhile, were blaming Dayton for derailing hundreds of millions of dollars in popular tax cuts. Tim Pugmire has more.
Dayton refused to sign the tax bill passed on the final day of the 2016 regular session because of a wording mistake that could have cost the state $101 million in charitable gambling revenue. He said doing so would have been foolish. Dayton said he's not responsible for the situation. House Republicans are.
They screwed it up, to be honest. I mean, I don't know who did. I'm not blaming anybody. Nobody intended to do it, except in the flurry of the last pressure-packed weekend. Those kinds of things happen because people, the professional staff, their staff, the revisor's office, you know, others, the revenue, everybody else doesn't have the time to review these bills and look at for every word to find an error. So they're responsible for this $101 million error.
Dayton said a special session would give lawmakers an opportunity to fix the tax bill and finish their work. He also wants a tax exemption restored for the Minnesota State High School League. But before he calls a special session, Dayton still insists that the agenda include a package of public construction projects, including the final piece of Southwest Light Rail, and some additional spending for higher education and other initiatives.
I'm willing to compromise. I'm willing to meet them halfway. You know, we need a special session. We need to pass the tax bill. We need to pass the bonding bill that we can all may not agree with, but we'll agree to for the sake of the betterment of Minnesota.
House Republicans aren't yet ready to compromise. They're still busy criticizing the governor for not signing the tax bill. House Speaker Kurt Dowd said after a brief afternoon meeting with the governor that they lost a good bipartisan bill that could have been easily fixed.
My email's been lighting up since last night, since the governor vetoed the tax bill. I think folks are disappointed that the governor vetoed the tax bill. I'm disappointed. I think he's using the error that was in the bill as an excuse to veto it. I think that's pretty obvious.
Still, Dowd said he's willing to talk with Dayton further about a special session, although he remains concerned about additional spending, additional bonding, and any money for light rail. Dowd said there's no meeting with the governor again until next Wednesday, but he said House and Senate negotiators will spend time in the coming days reviewing the bonding bill that fell short in the closing minutes of the regular session.
It's better that we take our time and do what's right rather than rush into something again.
Other leaders were stressing the need for quick action on a special session. DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach said he urged Dowd to agree on a deal as soon as possible.
I don't think it gets any easier when time goes on. When bills are left open like this for a long period of time, he's gonna learn that interest groups, anybody who has a stake in the bonding bill or anybody who has a stake in the tax bill is now all of a sudden going to storm the Capitol and want their provisions included. So leaving it open longer only makes finding closure more difficult.
Republican Senate Minority Leader David Hand also says a special session should come soon. Hand said he's worried about election year politics getting in the way of a potential agreement.
The campaign has started. It's ridiculous to assume that you're going to get 201 legislators to come back in July or August or sometime and take up a policy matter. They're going to be immersed in a campaign. So the window, I believe, is very short, and the sooner we do it, the better.
All 201 House and Senate seats are on the ballot in November. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
FBI Director James Comey says fewer people are trying to travel to join the Islamic State, but the Bureau is still aggressively pursuing terror recruitment cases, Matt Sepik reports.
During a visit to the Twin Cities yesterday, Comey said the number of people attempting travel began falling last summer from 6 to 10 a month to 1 or 2. He says high-profile prosecutions might be sending a message and potential recruits' families may be warning them away. But Comey fears there may be another reason.
People are staying home because they know we might catch them if they travel, and looking to do things on behalf of the Islamic State at home.
Comey says the Bureau is pursuing around 1,000 terror recruitment cases in all 50 states. Three Somali-American men from the Twin Cities could face life in prison after a federal jury found them guilty of trying to join ISIS. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Children spend almost half their waking hours in school on any given weekday. So if a school poses a health threat, the danger can be serious. Minnesota, like many other states, has very few regulations governing lead in school water. And while Minnesota officials say they believe schools are conscientious about lead, they don't have the data to know for sure. Solveig Wastvedt has more.
If you visit a Minneapolis school early in the morning, you might see a drinking fountain running with no one drinking. Lee Setter says that means custodians are doing their job.
As they're opening doors, as they're turning on lights, they start water fountains and let them run for 15 minutes until you purge all the stagnant water that sat overnight out, bringing in fresh, clean water.
Setter oversees health and safety and says Minneapolis has 35 buildings where drinking fountains are flushed before students come to school. The flushing is supposed to protect students from lead. These schools have recorded high lead levels in their drinking water. Many old buildings have problems with lead, which can leach from pipes into water. Schools are at particular risk because water sits idle on weekends and over the summer, allowing it to absorb more lead. The state health department recommends all schools test their water and flush when levels are high. Setter says flushing works.
It's really just a matter of making sure engineers know to do it and make it part of their routine each morning.
But Minnesota has no idea how many school districts make testing and flushing part of their routine. The state doesn't require testing unless the school provides its own water supply. High lead levels have been found in certain areas, and many schools have taken action. But State Health Department compliance engineer Anna Schleep says taking action on lead is not required.
Following the guidelines is voluntary. We don't have data on all the schools, so I don't know myself if every school is following our guidelines. I hope that every school is doing something, but they may not be.
Still, Minnesota hasn't had the problems around school lead that some other states have. The number of Minnesota children with high blood lead levels fell about 80% between 2002 and 2014. And most children with high lead levels get the contaminant from paint in houses or apartments, not from water. One reason for the lack of problems in schools could be that Minnesota invests a relatively large amount in school construction and renovation compared to other states. That money can fund overhauls that eliminate lead pipes altogether, like at Minneapolis's Webster Elementary School. Lee Setter says now Webster students drink water from brand new lead-free pipes.
So here's the water main right here. So this comes to the city. From here on out is all new.
The state recommends overhauls like this whenever possible, but Setter says it was an expensive project.
This school, when it was renovated, was probably 80% of it was gutted. I mean, right down to the dirt and pulling pipes out of the ground.
And there may be cause for concern because spending on buildings varies district to district. Students in wealthier districts benefit from more spending because most of Minnesota's building money comes from local property taxes. Here again, it's hard to tell the effect on student health. The state doesn't track the condition of school buildings. Only a new state law could force schools to test and supply those records to the state. Minnesota Health Commissioner Ed Ellinger says he's not ready to advocate for such a law yet. He says state advocacy in the 1980s got schools testing, and now he believes most schools use the flushing system.
Is that sufficient? It probably is, but we would need to do a little bit more evaluation to see before we mandate something that really would may not be necessary.
Ellinger says he's also not convinced the state needs to gather more complete records on which schools are testing and what the results are. He says as much as he'd like to have perfect information on lead and other potential health threats, it may not be worth the cost of gathering it. Covering education, I'm Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. We'll be right back.